God of glory, God of all comfort, the beginning and the end, the glorious God whose name is holy, the Yahweh of Judah, covenant-keeping God that does not sleep nor slumber, faithful to 1,000 generations, the all-sufficient God. We bless and worship you, Father. The God of Jacob, faithful God. You are plenteous in mercies, always willing to forgive. Blessed be your holy name. We worship you, Lord Jesus, faithful high priest, faithful over his house, whose house we are, ever living to make intercession for us. The brighter morning star, the fairest of 10,000s, the Ancient of Days. It's of your fullness that we have received grace upon grace. You give grace and you give glory. No good thing do you withhold from those who put their trust in you. We worship you, Jesus, O faithful High Priest. The blessed Holy Spirit, the resident member of the Godhead here on earth, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the enabler, the inner strengthener, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the God that is more than enough, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You are the one doing it. Without you, we can do nothing. The Comforter. We worship you, Holy Spirit. Thank you because you are the one that leads us into all truth. We need you here, Holy Spirit. And we thank you because you are here. Pray that your presence will increase more and more, causing us to be transformed, to be empowered, to be filled, and to be led in the path of truth. We worship you, Holy Spirit. Triune Deity, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and precious Holy Spirit, we bless, worship, and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. That's not a super hand clap.
You are mighty on your throne.
Praise the Lord. Let's be seated. We thank God, like Pastor Laulu started with. We have come to the last Friday in October. Amen. That's 10 months gone. Wow. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for his faithfulness. This is Scripture Pastor. This is Zion City Fellowship, Campus Outreach Arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center. Pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Thank you for the honor to our parents. We Bible says we should honor, give honor to whom honor is due. We thank God for their love, for their prayers for us, for their provision, and for their faithfulness in the things of God. We thank God we have poblas that are walking before us, serving as an example. And that's why we honor them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, being the last Friday is interactive. Amen. We'll be talking about anchor to the soul, living ready. These are the topics we have spoken about this month. I think, Pierre, you give us a short exhortation on those topics, and then we'll interact. Please, particularly as the summary is coming up, think on these things. Let's ask questions. Let's make comments. More importantly, let's imbibe. Amen. Let's imbibe in our hearts so that we are doers. These are perilous times. Amen. But God remains faithful. Praise the Lord. I remember one thing we said last week. I think after Pastor Lalu shared, with all the crisis going on in the world, we said two things will be constant in this earth. Two things will be constant: physical Israel and spiritual Israel. Praise the Lord. So people are looking for Israel to be destroyed. It's not going to happen. Amen. God will watch over, for Abraham's sake, watch over that country, watch over that land, for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. God will watch over. He said they are beloved for their father's sake. Amen. So it's God's inheritance. So physical Israel will stay till the end of this age. Amen. I mean, scriptural prophecy is clear. You can see, if you're a student of history, the people that are hating Israel are increasing. They are increasing. And it's directly proportional to the increase in the amount of those who don't believe in God. As the world goes, more people don't want to believe in God. And naturally, God's people will continue to be hated. Then on the other side of the coin is that there is going to be a glorious church. Praise the Lord. That means God's church will grow, will mature, and increase in power and take dominion and authority. So physical Israel and spiritual Israel is a constant. Amen. And in between it are some of the things we worry about. Like get a job. With all the exchange rate, will I get money with the inflation? When am I going to get married? So all those our concerns are in between. But the constant tell us that there is a faithful God. Praise the Lord. Those are the constants. You know, things may vary. The mathematicians, you know, when you have a formula, but in the formula there is a constant. Okay? So that one stays stable. The variables may change, but with God, the constant tells us that He will show up in our variables. Praise the Lord. So that we can receive strength. There is a spirit that is trying to breed weariness. I'm tired of the things of God, tired to pray, tired to read the Bible. But when you remember this constant, it encourages you. Praise the Lord. It encourages you so that you stay strong. Bible says, I even talked about David. He said, everything seemed lost when they were in Ziklag. The wives were taken. The children were taken. All their properties were taken. But David, and even his men, threatened to stone him out of the despair. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's the spirit that is going to... And once David did that, the next thing that happened is that God told him, you will recover all. Amen. Because in our despair, one thing despair causes, you won't hear God. But in all troubles, there is God's solution. But you need to stabilize what David did, encourage himself in the Lord. And then say, God, what will I do? Should I pursue? Say, pursue. But in the despair and the weeping, nobody is talking to God. Nobody is talking to God. So let's, as Pastor Lalu Lucas, let's take that as the beginning. That there's weariness in the land. There's despair everywhere. You know, I've always said it here before that it's easy to say Nigeria is a problematic place. It's easy. But there's problem everywhere. There's problems. The only safe place is where God tells you to be. Praise the Lord. There's problems. I won't deny there's no problems in Nigeria. But in Nigeria, stay where God puts you. Praise the Lord. And God will keep you strong. Amen. So, I know some years ago, if people ran to Israel, maybe got a job, is in Israel, you think he's safe. He got to U.S., you think he's safe. He got to Europe, you think he's safe. But anything that, but with time, the scripture is clear. He said, once more, in the end of time, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So that the only thing that will remain is things that cannot be shaken. Praise the Lord. Stay where God tells you to be. Amen. Then really, you can say to yourself, no shaking. Amen. But once you are somewhere that God, you know, asks me a question, he had a choice. He has this opportunity, he has what this opportunity. I don't have the word of the Lord. Stay where the peace of God. Don't take a decision that you know is affecting your peace. Whether you are at peace or not, you are the one that really knows. So always be honest. Always be honest. Because you may not have money, you may not have something temporarily, but please don't lose your peace. Praise the Lord. Don't lose your peace. It's easy to think that money, everything will bring you peace. Don't lose your peace. Praise the Lord. Very rich people. Extremely rich people. You wonder why sometimes they are into addiction. They are into opioid. They are into fentanyl. Suicide. The man doesn't have peace. Man doesn't have peace. Praise the Lord. So don't joke with your peace. You may not have too much at the beginning, but don't joke with your peace. Praise the Lord. Don't put your hand into ungodliness and immorality and compromise. There is no peace for the wicked. This scripture, there is no peace for the wicked. Hold on to your peace. Praise the Lord. And with that, I'm not saying... And with that, gradually all these stars, David just didn't encourage himself, Lord. God says he will recover all. So, but the first thing is that, let there be peace of the Lord. David got that. And with that, gradually they recovered everything. So, I'm not saying that you follow God and just manage. No. You are going to recover. Praise the Lord. You are going to abound. Everything work well. Praise the Lord. But you don't want other things at the expense of your peace with God, your closeness with God, and God, because those things will not bring peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's always that simple fact that is a principle. And by God's grace, that's why I say with the question and answer and with the interaction, let's imbibe. Amen. Last thing I'll say before Pastor Lalu takes the microphone is, you know, what I've described to you about having your peace is like the building of a house in which you are so eager to have the house. And you want to skip foundation. You want to skip foundation. And really, when you start foundation, foundation will be taking time. A lot of time. A lot of effort. And nothing seems to be going up. So, do we just want to stay at foundation? No. But we must do foundation first. Before things start to go up. Because, why must foundation be strong? Once, yet once more, in that I will shake the whole heaven and the earth. And when that shaking comes, things without foundation are going to come down. They are going to come down. They are going to come down. So, build foundation. Okay? And foundation sometimes just means things will be slow for a while. That's what foundation means. Things won't move for a while. It's moving, though, but people are not seeing anything. Praise the Lord. People are not seeing anything. And when your life is about a skyscraper, that's what your life, God is planning. God is going to take time with foundation. Praise the Lord. Take time with foundation. But when it becomes a skyscraper and you are at the top, you have an overview. It's a pleasant view and co. Amen. So God is planning great things for us. It's not a pseudo statement to encourage you. That's the scripture. Amen. That's the scripture. And that's why all this encouragement will tell you, read the Bible. Because when you are reading the Bible, God speaks to everybody. Amen. But you just have to be there. Read the Bible. Listen to messages. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. One way or the other, God will show up. Amen. And encourage you himself. Amen. And then you just make up your mind, I'm following God. Just make up your mind, you are okay. You just make up your mind, I won't grumble. No, you just make some personal decisions that helps you and encourages you. And it's from within. Praise the Lord. I mean, with one the Nigerian brother, I was too much. Me, I am not grumbling. It's not from the head, it's from the heart. I'm not grumbling. Things will work out. I'm not grumbling. And I've concluded, grumbling will not solve anything. Amen. The only thing it will do is make me lose my peace. Praise the Lord. I'm not grumbling. In the midst of all the, it's a maze. There's my own part there. I'm not grumbling. But that decision came from within. Praise the Lord. God continue to encourage us in Jesus' name. Pierre, sir.
Praise the Lord. Do I really need to say much? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so Prof has said it all. He said a lot. I'll just a brief thing, a recap of what we've done the last 2 weeks, because that's really, the one that's going to talk today with regards to questions and contributions, and we'll see how Bible talked about what Jesus began both to do and to teach. You know, so it's not just teach and talk, but because the kingdom of God is not in talk. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is what? Power. You know, so it's really how I've tried to do these things, the challenges I've faced, or what I've learned in the course of practicing these truths, you know, and how it has come to play in my day-to-day activities. And just like Prof was saying, you know, because I was asking myself a question, you know, and then when he said it, an answer dropped in my heart. The foundation is always unseen. Are we together? The foundation is always unseen, because it's going to be a key to a question I'll probably ask you. You know, and I think I'm probably giving you the answer, but it's an open book test. You know, because the things that I do on a daily basis you don't see in my room, those are the foundations I'm building. Do you understand? And the day is going to come where it's going to be explicit to everybody. That's when we are beginning to see your skyscraper. Are we together? We are beginning to see you come out of studies, you come out, you get married, all those kind of things. You begin to see. Because those are the things that are going to face the elements of life. And so we'll know what you've been building, you know, behind the scene, which is the foundation. But what we've done in the past 2 weeks is we've talked about the anchor to the soul. And it has to do with all the things that our minds face. You know, they call it boisterous times. You know, where your mind is, you're having to face challenges, your thinking, you know, choices, decisions, you know, your spiritual life. Winds are coming against you as young adults, you know, and so we talked about the anchor of the soul. We defined what an anchor is to a ship, and then we also talked about that it's symbolic of hope among Christians, that it emphasizes stability and security. I'm going somewhere, you know, it also emphasizes safety, you know, as Christians, and that we must grow to become more like Jesus and possess all the promises that God has promised us. You know, especially when times you're facing challenging times, the things that you see, you know, the things that you hear, they are contrary to the things that you believe on the word, what the word of God has said concerning you and me. You know, and so you must have an anchor to the soul. That's what Prof was talking about, the times that we are in as young adults, and you're having to face decisions. These things are affecting and are capable of affecting and influencing your decisions and your choices. The Bible says, I've said before you life and death, the blessing and cursing. And you see, you have to be careful you're not making choices and decisions out of desperation or out of discouragement or out of prayerlessness. And so that's what we're talking about, the anchor for the soul. And we mentioned two people, you know, when we're talking about the anchor for the soul. We talk about Lot, you know. I know Lot is not too much of a good of example, but the reason why we're talking about Lot is because of the scripture in 2 Peter chapter, let's quickly look at it, 2 Peter chapter 2. You know, so in 2 Peter chapter 2, if you remember, it says, and delivered just Lot, you know, and vexed with the filthy, let me see it in New King James. If you have New King James, and delivered just Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Next verse, hurry up. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And you see, incidentally, it says that the last days will be like the days of Lot. You know, so the challenges that we face as young people, as righteous people, are the things that are coming against us in our seeing and our hearing is affecting our souls. And you see, but the good news that we had was that God was able to deliver righteous Lot. You know, because his soul was vexed. And we are talking about the anchor for the soul, especially in these troublous times. You know, then we also talk about Joseph. We said Joseph to being in prison. It didn't look as if the promise was going to be fulfilled. But how did he and what did he do? You know, that his soul, because the guy that had a dream that was going to rule, and then he found himself in prison for what he did not do. His feet were in stocks, you know. And then he was the good part. We were expecting the good part for him was that he interpreted somebody's dream, and the guy forgot him. On the back of the he said, "Amen." You know, just when he was thinking that Emilio come, you know, they did not come. Eh? You know, but so, you know, so these things happen. You know, imagine a presidential candidate that is thinking Emilio come and he didn't come. He called somebody else. You know, so look at it. Put yourself in those shoes. I don't know whether you actually think through and put yourself in situations and challenges that you're facing as you hear the word of God. I think, you know, as you're doing praise and worship, I'm thinking, you are mighty on your throne. I'm thinking of the challenges that are like giants against you, and I'm seeing God as a mighty one on his throne above them. So you don't just come for entertainment and play here. I'm coming. I'm not here to waste my time. You know, he's God of reality. You know, and he solves our problems. And so when we're talking about the anchor for the soul, we ended in Hebrews chapter, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 6, talking about the Lord just being the anchor for the soul. And then we interpreted it as his blood, his word. Like Prof was talking about, when we talk about Bible reading, I think it's for children. No, it's for people that know that their solutions and their problems are solved by the word of God, and the word is God. You know, and so that is the anchor for the soul. In these troublous times, running to and fro will not solve your problems. You know, Prof has gone in and out. I was privileged to be out. Yeah, thank God for the things. Thank God for amenities. But really, there are some things that you don't want to be a part of. And you don't even want to see. Righteous Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah looked like Garden of Eden. But his soul was vexed. You know, so that's all Prof is saying about peace. You know, I want us to talk about this thing. I don't want to talk too much. The next thing that we talked about last week, is living ready. You know, this was a spring up from one of the messages that we heard in church, you know, about. And then it's even continuous, because last Sunday there was a continuation about this. So it shows the importance of, you know, learning from natural Israel, how they were caught unawares, you know, and the enemy came in suddenly. And we are saying that as spiritual Israel, you know, we must learn from natural Israel, that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. He seeks to attack. It might be as if nothing is happening, but it doesn't mean that you should let down your guard. And we talked about Gideon. We talked about, another army. You'll be the one to remind me. We talked about another army that was awake, alert, and active. And we're saying that even if as if there's nothing happening around you, it doesn't mean that you should let down your guard. Yeah, we talked about Nehemiah. That as we're building, as you are doing your natural activities, you know, you're studying, you're interacting with people in the natural world, you don't throw away your prayer life. Even if you are getting prosperous and everything seems to be at peace, you know, nothing is happening, peace, peace, they say, it doesn't mean that you let down your guard or throw down your weapon. Do you understand? There is every tendency that when you are prosperous, your academic is going well, you know, nothing is coming against you, so to speak. You just feel that this Bible reading, I can just drop it, or this prayer, I don't really need it. You know, I don't have any problem, don't pray. You know, that kind of thinking. This thing is just a subtle mode that it puts you in hibernation. You know, so you have to be very careful that, I'm awake a lot and my computer system is always running. You know, it just needs a touch of the Holy Spirit. I'm awake. It's not that they'll start putting you. And then your RAM is very low. You've eaten so much so that your RAM is low. You know, before your system wakes up, it's too late. God forbid. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So we're talking about being on standby. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our standby. And so, that's what we talked about, living ready. I don't have to take too much time, so that I want to hear from you. You know, one of the questions I have, which Prof also dropped an answer for me, is, you know, how do I really stay ready practically? How do I have an anchor for the soul such that when even challenges suddenly come, I'm ready? You know, what is it that, why, the what? You know, the how that really, or that you are already living it and experiencing it, or the challenges that you're facing. You know, that it's only when challenges come that you remember prayer. Yeah, it's fine. Let's talk about these things. You know, we're talking, I want to know how to be fully awake, always awake, alert and active. We want to know how to always know, always use our anchor, knowing that we have an anchor in our ship, you know, and whenever there are challenges, we can drop the anchor, you know, for our soul. And so that was, I just came to remind you, you are the one that will teach us today. All right? God bless you. Thank you so much. Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are online, remember that you can also drop, you know, your questions through WhatsApp. You know, they will drop a number so you can, or a contribution, and so you can, they will read it to us. God bless you. Precious. Okay, so please, let's not waste time. 5:55. You have to be here by like 5:25, 6:25, 6:30, 6:35. So let's maximize it, you know, from the things that we've learned or the things that God has dropped in your heart in the context of these topics.
Nobody was going to waste our time. In a minute, you don't, I will pick you.
So, okay, let me start.
Thank you. I was about to pick Sarah.
Okay.
Okay. You delivered Sarah for now.
Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, personally, what I've been learning and I'm practicing is obedience, instant obedience at every instant. More like when God prompts you to do something, do it. Okay, because sometimes we always want to procrastinate when God prompts you to do something now. Okay, you're like, okay, God, I'm coming, I'll do it later. But at that moment, God said it. It is very, very important. And because there's this scripture that says in Romans 8:26 that it causes all things to work together for our good. That was 27. But before that, is when we are living in obedience at each moment that God causes those things to work together for our good. If we stop working in obedience, nothing will work together for your good, really. But when we walk in obedience at every moment, then even though it looks rough, but when you continue to walk, stay with that voice, those instructions, then God causes it to work together for our good. And I feel that's what God is actually teaching me now at the moment. Obedience at every moment, constant obedience. As God drops it, that instruction, we'll do it. When you're done with doing that one, another one will come at each moment. God will follow you.
Praise the Lord. I need to get a scripture. Yes. John 12:36. Papa Raf shared this many, many years ago. Can you bring it up? John 12:36. Okay, let's all read it. Why you have the light? Believe in the light. That you may become. No, KJV. Why you have the light? Believe in the light. That you may be the children of light. Okay. Papa Raf, thank God for prophetic apostle. He said, He gave another word for children. He said, when you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the product. No, children are the products of their brain. Say, when you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the product of light. Praise the Lord. Because it says, for after light comes darkness. So when you have the light, and that's what it was, when you get a prompting. Okay? Don't first say you didn't hear it. Believe in the light. Huh? That's how God talks. So. Praise the Lord. Forgotten what happened of recent. The details doesn't matter, but when that thing came up, I said, from experience, this is God talking. So, don't let me rationalize it or explain it out. Let me just key into it. That's believe in the light. That you may be the product of light. Amen. So that you don't walk in darkness. Amen. So, and that's the statement I made. I said, God is, and it's in the Bible. Say, God is, he speaks once, twice, we don't hear. God, there's nobody God doesn't speak to. One way or the other. Praise the Lord. But let's be quick to obey. So that if you are quick and learning from what Precious said, if you are quick to obey like that, then soon, constant advice, instruction, believing God will become a way of life. When the exam comes, you just pass. It becomes a way of life. And as I said, when that thing happens, is how God talks. So don't let me rationalize. I won't say I don't know. Believe in the light. Praise the Lord. But the balance from what Precious has said is there's a background of Bible reading. Praise the Lord. There's a background of prayer. So you've put in the equipment, the instruments for God to always nudge you. Amen. For God to always nudge you. So, but what is in the statement is that God always wants to communicate to us, to our conscience, one way or the other. Praise the Lord. One way or the other. And once you hear it, try to obey. You know, we were talking in the lab yesterday or 2 days ago of a real incident that was very funny. Many years ago, one of my friends, we are lecturers, we're about the same level. So he was a lecturer at Nonsuka, and I was in UI. But we've got to meet in meetings. So years later, as we are all growing, they invited me to Nonsuka to be the external examiner, okay, for the students. So I went, as it was so good to see your colleagues and co. So I don't know whether I was a professor then, but I think I had just become a professor. So I was told that he had a 1 year sabbatical stay in South Africa. 1 year sabbatical stay in South Africa, University of Cape Town. So to go and do some work in zoology department. So when I announced, I said, I hear you are going to Cape Town. I said, no, there's change of plan. That they've given him a sabbatical position in Umudike. There's a new vet school at Umudike. So he's in Nonsuka. And Umudike was going to pay him normal salary and pay him as a vet doctor. So he looked at the South African money with the taxes he was going to pay. And then I saw that at the end of the day, I mean, this was many years ago. So you don't have this wide exchange rate. He won't make money going to South Africa compared to going to Umudike. So, he now said he was going to go to Umudike. I now said, don't do that. He wasn't a professor, obviously. But I now told him that, you are planning to be a professor. Before you be a prof, where you now start to train people. In Umudike, you just be teaching. But if you go to Cape Town, you're going to use the electron microscope. You're going to use the PCR machine. You are going to get exposure and you're going to publish papers in top places. And then your career will be solidified. And then you come back and then Umudike can still come in about 2-3 years time. You can go to Umudike, but you now do not teach undergraduate, you'll be able to teach master's, PhD. So I really explained to him the benefits of going to South Africa to go and learn those techniques. So we're like three talking. So now I say, sure, you've heard what I was. They said, I've heard what you said. Okay. I think I'll pray about it. The third person said, will you shut up, you this man? God just spoke to you. You say you are a guy. Say, shut up, you this man. Their colleagues will say, God just spoke to you. And I say, I'm going to pray to him. So we are just laughing about it in the lab and go. But that's just what we are talking about. That sometimes, you know, the nudging, you know, this is truth, but it's telling you, believe in the light. Why you have that light? Because many times, sometimes I want to rationalize things out and go. And then the light doesn't, God, Holy Spirit, he doesn't wrestle with people. He tells you and go, you don't take it. He leaves. You know, he leaves, you are left on your own. May we not be left on our own. Praise the Lord. Am I going back to Sarah now? Any other person? Okay. Sarah, why are you quick to show me that somebody is speaking? Why are you quick to show me that somebody has raised up his hand?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Actually, I have two questions.
Your name?
Olakayode.
Olakayode. Okay, yes. Good.
One from question from Anchor for the Soul, a second for Living Ready. The first question is about Joseph and others, like David. Though they didn't have Bible to read, they have the knowledge of the Spirit, yet they waited for this. And many things, many challenges came and they overcame it. But what did they do? Like compared to this our time now, we have Bibles, we have many weapons just to overcome this. But yet it's very difficult for we to overcome. And the second question is, how to know the voice of God while preparing for the foundations? Like Pastor Larry said, Nehemiah, perhaps. Now, there are some people who came to say, the Lord said we should join you building this store. But they said, no, this is not because I read the Bible when I got home. Said, no, we are not going to allow you to join us. Perhaps they understood that this is not the voice of the Lord. How can I understand and know the voice of the Lord while we are building our foundation?
Praise the Lord. I'll leave the first question to Pastor Laulu, but let me start with the second one. I think I've said it here before. One day, one of my colleagues in the office, he came with his son to the office. The boy was probably like 4 or 5. So I was happy to see him and go, how are you? This is your mommy. My mommy is fine. So he sat down. And then, maybe like 10, 15 minutes later, I could hear footsteps. Someone was walking on the corridor. I mean, if the doors are open, if someone is walking on the corridor, you can hear the footstep. And the boy just said, my mommy is coming. And I said, have you seen your mommy? And then the mom appeared. The footsteps. That boy knew that that's his mom's footsteps. I couldn't know nothing. I just kind of said, have you seen your mom? But where did that come from? Constant interaction. With time, a 3-4-year-old boy, he knows if he's kwa, 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 that's not my mommy. But if he knows the steppings. That's the person he lives with every day, constant interaction. And he can now distinguish the footsteps of another person from his mom. Praise the Lord. So let me put it to God. That's why we said, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. Praying in the blood is of Jesus. The word, Jesus is the word. Prayer in the spirit. The more we do those things constantly, the more we do those things constantly, the more the presence of God, the nature of God, and the voice of God becomes familiar to us. Praise the Lord. There's no rocket science. You stay with it. Amen. The problem is that we stay out of God, and then something happens, and we say, God, show up. Oh. What you've not been constant with. I have another colleague in which their child was maybe a year, barely a year. I don't think it was up to you, but if it was barely a year, and the mother now got a fellowship for a postgraduate program in the U.S., maybe 2-year program. So after about 6 months to 1 year, she took a leave to come home. And the my colleague was now telling me that the child didn't even know the mom. He said, he wanted to stay with the daddy. He said, this is your mommy. But she was barely a year when she left. Now there is no constant. There has been no constant interaction. So even when the child saw the mother, so the mom had to spend time. And when she was going, she felt so sad when her 3 weeks or 1 month leave was over. What you don't stay constantly with, you really will not know. And then you can't suddenly say, if I need your mother, you can't suddenly now shout that on the child. There has not been any constant interaction. Praise the Lord. When we're in the day of trouble, we just want God to appear. But in peacetime, what did you do with God? Yeah. What did you do with God? The real army that wins, they prepare in peacetime. So when you see Israel, when they are doing normal drills, it looks like a war. But in peacetime, that's what they get ready. So when they now have to fight, their body is in the groove. So the Bible reading, the confession, and go. It's not just routine that we just do. Finally, they become our nature. Praise the Lord. Really, they become our nature. So let's constantly interact with God. Let's stay with God. There's no rocket science about God's voice. Praise the Lord. There's no rocket science. Sometimes you will hear, you will judge it. With what? The word of God. Amen. Sometimes you will hear, you will pray in the spirit to filter it. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you act on it. It doesn't work out. Then you now know, that most likely was not God. That's how we all went through it. We took the baby steps. Praise the Lord. We stood, we fell. We stood, we fell. Then later, we were not falling that regularly again. Then later, we are hardly falling. It's a constant. Because that's the truth. But anybody, and that's why most people look for soothsayers. That's why many people are falling for soothsayers. Nobody wants to go through the process, so they want someone to tell them, this is what God is saying. So what do you think? And go, Pastor Papa Raf, no, we didn't have computers in our days. They come to me every time and say, Papa Raf, what's the word of the Lord? He said, I carry the Bible and put it on their head. This is it. The whole 66 volumes. Go read it. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what I look for soothsayers. No. You stay with God. It's a growth process. Praise the Lord. It's a growth process. It's a growth process. Then you can now get to Jesus and say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Then later, God talked to him. They say, thunder. He said, no, he didn't thunder. Can you imagine? Same voice of God. Some people had thunder. Some people say an angel. But he knew God spoke to him. Amen. It's just all of us at our different levels. Pastor Andrew, we say, he travels with pastor. And they are just going, pastor, say, He say, pastor. Say, God just spoke to him. He say, Then later, I said, God, pastor Andrew, say, I can't be in the car with him. Is he the only one? I say, with time. He to start to be quiet. He said, but what's the secret? Pastor will keep quiet. Pastor will be meditating. He said, as he to start doing that little by little, he to start hearing God small, small. It's growth. It's a process. Amen. It's like that. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Prof. Growth and patience. You know, in as much as you're learning from us, you can't compare yourself with people because they would have gone ahead of you, you know. So, but what you said, when you asked that question, then I thought to myself, there is a problem, you know, because truly, Joseph had no Bible. First and foremost, I'll recommend the article for you on the church website, you know. I think we've treated it as a daily rema. It's on the spconline.org. Pastor preached that message of Joseph had no Bible. So I won't have to speak too much. I'll just recommend it to you go and find out. And the reason I'm saying that there is a problem is because we have the Bible. We have the blood. We have the Holy Spirit, you know. And we have no excuse. I have a Bible on this phone. I have a Bible on this tablet. I take it around. I've installed it. You know, different versions. There are so many versions, you know. I've installed it, but am I reading it? See, that's why, so when you hear when it says that the Queen of Sheba will rise against this generation and say that in the time of Solomon, she came from this and she of all, you know, all the way, and she came to listen to Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here, yet they rejected him. Then you need to, see, that's why many times you need to think deep. And so your question was, how did they do it? First and foremost, I'll let you know that God will never allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. You know, and that's to encourage you and me, and also them. But what did they do during their time? The first thing that comes to my mind, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, and this is what they were doing, you know. You see, what just happened in Joshua 1:8 was just to show us the answer. You know, they have been doing it, the scriptural basis, and the what have they been doing? What was Enoch doing? What was Abraham doing? What did Shem do? What did Adam do? How did they didn't have Bible. What did they do? In Joshua 1:8, it suddenly reveals it, you know. And so in Joshua 1, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you will what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you have good success. One other scripture, Deuteronomy. And you see, in these times, they didn't even have the Torah. David had the Torah. That's why it was really hard on him when he committed adultery. Some of them began to have from Genesis to Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. That's the law. You understand? So by the time he had any generation after that, they didn't have any excuse. The ones that didn't have the Torah, that didn't have the law, like Adam, like Enoch, like Noah, you know, like Moses, what did they do? Like Joseph, what did they do? Only take heed to yourself, Deuteronomy 4:9. And diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest it depart from your hearts, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. How were they giving them the word by oral tradition. Do you understand? That's the same thing that the Yorubas have done over the years, is oral teaching, oral tradition. You know, the Chinese, they have written down their own. The Israeli Jews, they wrote down their own. The sad part about our own people is that they did not pen it down. You know, assuming that they had penned down Igogogoroma Gumeloju and all the forces and the physics that they had observed, then we would have had a kind of intellectual ability like the Chinese too. Do you understand? But the point I'm trying to make is oral tradition was passed down. Adam and Eve taught Abel and Cain, you know, but each of them made their choices, you know, and they did what they wanted to do. So over the years, for them, is oral tradition. They had no Bible. But Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac taught Jacob. Jacob taught his 12 children, but they all have free will. So everybody did, you know, and made their choices. Do you understand? And it has always been. And that's why Moses said it. I have said before you this day, life and death has not changed. You know, like I can put the Bible in front of you. You can install it on all your systems, you know, but you still have a choice to either read it or not read it. You have a choice to, after reading it, to practice or not to practice it. You understand? So the responsibility still falls on you, whether it's by oral tradition, whether it's by a written tradition, whether it's by a spoken tradition and the AI is reading it into your ears, or whether it's by human teaching you. Do you understand? You still have your free will. But for them, if you just want to know what they did and how did they transfer, it was by oral tradition. And then later by a written tradition, you know. And for us, of course, we have all kinds of technologies to help us. You know, and then I wanted to say this about what Prof was saying, Nehemiah, how did they know? You know, because it still goes back to this thing of what am I doing? That's why I said, God don't allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. You know, you can say Pastor Andrew could not hear what Pastor was hearing because they're in different levels of maturity and growth. You know, so for you too, don't feel that you have to hear immediately, like the Lord Jesus said. But the way you will hear ultimately is by practice. That's what prophecy, our foundation. God will never allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. You understand? But when the exam comes, it is because the continuous assessment has been coming. And it is because either you have been hearing the nudge and obeying the nudge, you know, the little obediences, the little instructions that come your way, how do you handle them? Those are not the exams. You will know the exam. You understand? But the only way you can pass those exams is from those little tests, continuous assessments. Yeah, it might fall 7 times. Then we don't see it. God doesn't even want us to see it. God even allows us to see it. You know, it's between you and him. He's a good God. And he's teaching you and teaching you the principles. And when you fall, he cleans you up. You know, but when the D-Day comes, even the person that has taught you, he has to just watch. You understand? Your teacher that has taught you over the years is not going to be the one that, even if he's the invigilator, he cannot talk. But that's cheating. You understand? So the best he can wish for you is, even if he comes over your exam paper and he sees you doing the wrong thing, he can be pinning him in his head and just hoping and praying that you just erase it. And when you erase it, I say, oh, Luashion. You understand what I'm saying? So the point is, you have a free will. You have to be. It comes by exercise. You know, unseen exercises. You know, unseen practices, unseen foundational happenings. You know, on the daily habits. Unseen things. Are you waking up early to pray? Are you reading your Bible when I don't see it? Those are things that you are still loading. You understand? And God is loading you. And so when the exam comes, it's just going to be, I won't have to tell you. Prof won't have to tell you. You know, because the most important thing we have taught is the principles. You know, and you just need to be practicing. The exam will not come today because we've taught you today. You know, is seeing things to come. All right.
Real life. It's not theory now. Okay. Any other person? Questions? Contributions? Oh, Sarah. Praise God.
I just wanted to add to your answer of his second question about how to hear God. First thing is his word. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. And how do you know the voice of God? By reading his word, which is in the Bible. So when you familiarize yourself with the word of God, you tend to, after some time, you know that this is God, this isn't God. And then secondly, the peace of God, like Pastor Lauli said. When there are some things that are not explicitly said in the Bible, like maybe, should I get this job or should I go to this school? things like that is not explicitly written in the Bible. So the thing that will guard you is the peace of God. And the Bible says that, there's a part in the Bible that says, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
But then make your prayer known unto God,
and
the peace of God will guard your heart. So it's the peace of God that will make you, if you're not having peace about something, it's not advisable for you to go through it. And then, just to encourage you, there was a story of a woman that she wanted to get a job, and then the job, she wanted to go to a private school to teach. This was a long time ago. And then, in the private school, at that time, they were paying way more than working with the government. And then, but she didn't have peace, and she said that she wasn't going to do that. So she said that she was going to work with the government. That's what she had peace about. Then, a few months after, the government made a decree or something like that, that they should increase their salaries. And lo and behold, it was like double and more of what she was going to be earning. So having the peace of God will guard your heart.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Praise the Lord. She said a word, a statement, but I want to pick a word. He said, talking about reading the Bible, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Praise the Lord. But that statement, the word there is sheep. You know the character of sheep? Amen. Ah, when did God teach me that? I remember vividly. I was serving, 1993. And I read that, he said, who is the sheep? I know that I'm a vet doctor. Sheep obey. Sheep follow the instruction, follow the line. Sheep don't do their own thing. Praise the Lord. Say with that, she says, so when the shepherd knocks, they know. Praise the Lord. So it's meekness, lowliness, not that braggado, I will do my own. Praise the Lord. So that sheep hears the voice of God. Amen. But once it's your own agenda, this is what I want. God, just don't say anything. No, this is what I want. And go. We won't say that outside, but that's our attitude. You won't keep hearing God's voice. Amen. So let's be sheep. Let's be meek. Let's be lowly. God always, like I said, God wants to speak to everybody. One way or the other. Praise the Lord. It's details may differ. Amen. But God wants to speak to everybody through the conscience. You know, there's anything I'll add to what Pastor Lalo was talking about. You know, the oral tradition, the parents passed from Abraham, and what they did was that Joshua 1. What they passed to them, they kept saying it. Praise the Lord. They kept saying it. They kept confessing it. Amen. So God told them, he said, if you obey my statutes, you will be a holy people unto me. You'll be separate. And that's why when Potiphar's wife came, Joseph said, you want me to, this wickedness and sin against God, inasmuch as he loved Potiphar, he knew that sin was not against Potiphar. It was against God. Praise the Lord. It was against God. So when, and that was in that article, Joseph had no Bible, so when nobody was there, that light that this is wrong was burning in Joseph. I could tell Potiphar's wife, forget it. This is a wickedness against God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we'll take two. Yeah.
So I just want to drop a joke. You know, Prof was talking about sheep. You know, in the world today, and the first time I saw that, that was a shock to me. Hashtag goat. How many goats do we have here? You know, greatest of all time. I think somebody in this, it's as if the children of this world seem to be wiser in their generation than the children of light. You know, maybe we need to go and coin the meaning of S-H-E-E-P. That makes so much sense, that will make them jealous. Because when I saw that they wrote Serena Williams is a goat, I was wondering what kind of nonsense is that. Until I saw that they had actually found a meaning for goats. But please, don't be a goat. You know, greatest of all time. It's not true. You understand what I'm saying? You can see, he tried to find the meaning of goats. G-O-A-T. You know, my old joke about it, but it really struck me that the devil is a funny guy, yo. You know, he will, the worst thing, he will try and sugarcoat it so that you say, oh, you should, Pastor Lord, chill out, man, chill out. But the truth be told, if you are not careful, you will desire to be a goat, subtly, you know, and you put ambition above God, you put your bravado and stubbornness above listening to God, meekness and lowliness of heart, especially when it's contrary to the happenings of the time, and you have an opportunity to have that pride of life. You understand? So please, in the midst of play, be very wise as a serpent, you know, and harmless as a dove.
Very important. Amen. Any other? Yeah. Sarah, stead him up.
Praise the Lord.
Hello, David.
Okay, so I want to talk about the issue of humility, obedience, and pride. So we all know that God doesn't like pride. He likes humility. He gives grace to the humble, and like he pushes away the proud. So personally, I've been in this church for like since I was like basically born, and there was a period in my life where I was like, okay, all the things that Pastor Luby used to say, they were good though, but like I wanted to find another path to God, because I've just seen a lot of people doing it, and like, and I'm like, are they like acting or what? And because whenever I tried at first, like it didn't work, and I was like, okay, fine, let me try and go through another path. Then recently, God now showed me that you trying to reinvent the wheel, you are causing more problems for yourself, because like there's already been someone who has like lived the life, made the mistakes, listened to other people. He has stood on the shoulders of other people. So it's like, it was a thing. When God now showed me that, okay, fine, you have to listen to what other people have to say, people in front of you, because it has been an issue for me, apart from the Bible and God, like in my personal life, with pride and everything. So God like showed me that he gives grace to the humble. So if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. And when he humbles you, you don't like it. So it's best to humble yourself before God humbles you. So now, one thing I saw was that there's this chart. I don't know if you can put it up. The chart about worship, prayer. If you can put it up so everyone can see. So like that like chart, like it basically shows how you can have a victorious and successful Christian life every day. Because there are some people that, okay, fine, for a week they might be They might be going strong and everything is making sense. Then for like 2 months they can go back. Then they'll come back. They don't know how they stumbled into it. They shall get back in there. But like this chart is from like someone who has lived the life, who God has shown him the right way to go, and he has made his mistakes and everything. So he shows you how to open your heart every day through honesty and humility of heart with the fear of God. Then you're able to open your heavens with prayer, life scriptures, Pauline prayers, and prayer in the spirit. And eventually, when you do that, you'll be able to have, like, when you're reading your Bible, it won't just be like, God will be talking to you, thank you, sir. So it won't just be like, okay, I'm just reading this thing, like you're reading any other text or anything you see online. So, like, it's like there's inspiration behind what you're reading, and there's more, like, power backing it up. So basically, what I'm like saying in all is that humility is key to having like a successful Christian life, and listen to fathers because they've lived the life. God has helped them. They've made their mistakes. It won't make sense for you to make the same mistakes they did when they're already telling you that this is the right way to go. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I think we were talking last week that one tendency in youths is to be prodigal. It's to be prodigal. You have ideas. I know why everybody's just mellowing and just sitting. When if you put these ideas in place, you will run. And many times, what happened to the prodigal son happens to a lot of people every time. A lot of youths. One way or the other. No, you're too slow. This, that, move. But don't be dishonest. As bad as the prodigal son looked, the honesty of heart was never left him, and that's what saved him. Because he just came to himself and said, excuse me. My father's house. Servants eat bread and threw away. And I'm dying of hunger. I will arise and I will go back. I always tell my son, I said, sometimes when you think you have idea, the only thing I'll just say is that when it doesn't work, be honest to say it doesn't work. I tell him. Because they always, when it doesn't work, that's where the problem is. Don't now be the son and say, I can't say it doesn't work now. No. No. Just acknowledge, hey, I'm losing it. It may be one. It happens to everybody. Don't throw away honesty. Amen. I've said it before, God can't help the dishonest. God can help the weak. God can help the sinner. God can help the foolish. But when you are dishonest, the door that God can use to help your foolishness, your sinfulness, everything, shut it. Be honest. Praise the Lord. That youth will take a, will argue, will query. Yeah, that will always happen. But when you hit the rock, be honest that there's no way here. There's no way here. Praise the Lord. If you read the Bible is so real. You want to read fully the life of Jacob. Later you just say, there's no way. Even Paul, read their lives. Had their times in which it was about exuberance and everything. But later, God got across and said, this is not it. Praise the Lord. That's the problem with Balaam. God, the donkey kept stopping, but he didn't want to agree. Praise the Lord. So let's, when we are overstretching evil, and God, things are not working, let's be honest. Amen. You know, there's someone you just don't want to forgive. Or there's something, and things are not working. Then the honest, just tell yourself that, hey, I don't think I can afford to continue in this path. It's that honesty. It comes to all of us in different shades. But quickly put a stop. Amen. From a honest heart and make a turn around. And God will help you. Particularly when you do that turning. God just opens flood of peace and encourages you. I can imagine the prodigal son. When he said that thing, and said, I will arise, and he stood up, God gave him grace. God encouraged him. God made him to lose fear of going back to his father's house. And he went back. God will all, he said, a broken and a contrite spirit. Give me that scripture. He said, I will not despise. God is, when he sees a broken and a contrite, God said, okay. Yes, the sacrifices, the real sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. God will always look on it. God will always pity it. Praise the Lord. So let's be, it's a beautiful discussion today, because these are practical things. There's nobody that gets it. Let me just tell you one secret. You want to really get an anchor. Let your anchor be strong in the things of the Spirit. Very strong. 15 years. 20 years. Spiritual things take time. And pastor has told us that's why long life is important. Because it takes time to grow. It takes a lot of time. To grow spiritually. It takes time. And that's why long life is something we need. Amen. Yeah, because you just don't learn spiritual things that easily. And then it becomes an anchor. It takes time. Praise the Lord. So let's keep growing from one stage to another stage to another stage to another stage. But when you get that scripture in Peter that says, all these things be in you. And abound, and it sees to it that you will never fall. For in this an entrance, that takes time. That takes time. That takes time. So stay with it. Amen. Stay with it. There is, you know, when some things are me, the work I do is read and go. So reading has become a part. It's a culture. We must always read something. When spiritual things will become a part, You must always pray. You must confess. You must buy, it's become your life. Meditate. You must think on the scripture. You must acknowledge God. Amen. But those things don't happen naturally. They don't happen naturally. Amen. I tell my students, I'm sorry, some of you are looking for the day. You will stop reading. You will stop because I'm at 400 level. So looking, yes, precious. Looking for the day, you will stop reading. You'll be free. You'll be at peace. You have money. I said, let me tell you the good news. That day will never come. You know that? I said, it will never come. You will keep. You want to have money and keep the money. Then you keep reading. Then you keep walking. Then you keep stretching. Then you keep thinking. Praise the Lord. You keep. Because later, it's not drudgery anymore. It's not a lifestyle. Amen. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle. So, for now, the reading looks like punishment. Amen. But later, as Pastor Louis said, it was... Pastor Louis said, prayer is first a duty. How many of us are there? Ah! Oh, 5 to 10. It's a duty. Then, it becomes a discipline. 5. I have to get up. Then later, it becomes a delight. Praise the Lord. No, but it doesn't come as a delight for anybody from the beginning. No. It's first a duty, then a discipline, then a delight. Amen. And that's why we need time to grow. We need time to grow, to keep practicing this thing until. Amen. That's why God doesn't want us to die young. Amen. So he says, you will live, you will not die. You will live to declare the glory of God in that. So why are you living? To declare the glory of God. It takes time. Amen. So, you know, it's a misnomer when the longer you live, the more sinful you are becoming. You say, I used to be a honest guy. No, the long life was not given to you to worsen your days. The longer is given to you to bless your days and make you glorious. Say, well, you will live, you know, that you will live to declare the glory of God in the land of living. Our best may never be in our past. Our best is yet ahead of us. I think we need to round up. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and let's talk to God. Because now there is prayer time. With all our answers, the questions, the comments and everything, God spoke to you. Something said struck your heart. Something God corrected you where you are. So, there is something that you say, that's me. I need to change. So now it's personal to God. You and God. Talk to God. What have you gained? What does God need to help you? What are the things you want to change? This serious time, please. Start to talk to God. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will. The quiet pastures, or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain, or the valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul is now my guide. shepherd of my soul is now my guide. Right? The shepherd of my soul is now my guide. Let's put our hands to our chest. Let's raise one hand to God. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I want prayer of faith and conviction. Heavenly Father, I thank you because you have spoken to me. Thank you because you speak always. Father, help me to hear. Help me to be quick to obey. When I have the light, to believe in it, to act on it, so that I can be a product of light. Help me to stay with the word. Help me to stay with prayers. Help me to be faithful in spiritual growth and development. So I get used to you. I get used to your voice. I get used to your ways in the name of Jesus. Help me to humble myself. Help me to run away from the path of pride. Help me to be honest, to know and agree with you when I'm on the wrong path, so that I will turn around and follow you in righteousness, in repentance, and in your word. Help me, Father, to live long, to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Help me to be patient. To be patient with myself. Help me to be patient with the things of the Spirit, so that I will grow first the blade, then the air, then the full corn in the air, so that I can be mature and be the person that you want me to be. Thank you, Father, because you will help me. Faithful are you that has called me, and you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.